Podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
Okay, I have to tinkle.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program. Well, he must have really needed to tinkle. He shot up out of that chair. See, I don't know because I cannot hear it on. So here is my suspicion, chat room. And you guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong. But when I start playing music while he's talking, he always says that it's super loud. But I think Daniel doesn't like it when I play audio over his stories. I don't think it's actually super loud, but maybe it is. So you guys can tell me, when I play music, is it coming across like, like when I was playing Chariots of Fire, was it like super loud and like over his voice? Maybe it was. And if so, I will work with him to make sure that those volumes are correct. But in my ears, it sounds quiet. So I don't know why it would be super loud for him, but then quiet for me, like on my headphones. But I think he gets annoyed when I do the same thing to him that he does to me, because he plays audio all the time. I don't know. I mean, but I'm not hearing what he's hearing, so maybe it is. I don't know if you did it sound super loud. Does it when I play like music from like YouTube or whatever? Does it sound super loud? Actually, I don't know if I don't know how you pee that quick.
Jan McClay Enterprises. Lamont Cranston in the chat room says Jan McClay Enterprises LLC is Daniel Spire. Street Rat has entered into the chat room. Hello, Street Rat. I haven't seen you in a while.
Hello, Street Rat. You know what? We need to go off of YouTube. Anyone still on YouTube,
go away.
You can go over to pride48.com. You can listen. You can go to the Discord. There's a link on the pride48.com that says chat. If you click on that, it'll take you to Discord. Mm-hmm. We're there, but we're going to go off of YouTube. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Goodbye. I should probably stop this too.
Recording stopped.
Let's see. I want to set. Oh, you've already set it private.
Oh, then maybe we never set it public.
No. I set it public. I see it right now.
I didn't set it
right now. I was looking in the wrong place. Lord. And I don't make it...
Jesus.
I don't make it private. I make it unlisted. God bless her outreach. God bless her outreach. Have we talked about that? I know that we talked about this in person, but did we talk about this on the show about Manhunt? Had I started watching Manhunt?
We did not discuss Manhunt.
Manhunt, have you seen it?
Now I look really dark.
Yeah.
I don't like those. Those lights are so bright. They hurt my eyes.
I can see you fine. You don't have to.
Well, I can turn up the exposure on this, but they're so bright. I have not. So,
yes, Lamont Cranston, I've heard they turned the hookup website into a series. Yeah.
I used to go on, Manhunt, that has been a long time. I think I've been on Manhunt and also, was it Men for Men or Man for Man?
Men for Men for Now or something like that. M for M for Now or something like that.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it on any of my podcasts I listened to or anything like that.
Well, you must have, because you knew it was about John Wilkes Booth.
I did because we resubscribed Apple Plus recently. I'm trying to find shows on Apple Plus to watch to make subscribing to it worthwhile.
Yes.
And so... I was looking through their new, new things.
You've watched Severance.
I watched although I don't know. Yes, we have watched Severance.
You've watched Foundation.
We've watched Foundation.
And now you're giving For all mankind. Another go.
Another shot. Yeah.
Have you been watching?
Does it get any better? And like, is season one slow and other seasons pick up, or is it about the same?
All right. I mean, we are finding it more interesting now
than we did the first time.
Yeah.
But so it's still kind of slow.
You kind of have to know the early space program to appreciate the differences in the. All right. So the premise of the show, for those of you who don't know, For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus, is what if we hadn't have won the space race? What if we didn't have the first landing on the moon? What if that was Russia that did that? What would it change in the world? And the so this is an alternate history of our space program. So in this alternate history, the U.S. doubles down on the space program, spends way more money on it, accelerates getting women astronauts, and accelerates a lot of their building, technological things to get to space. But you got to remember that the history diverged, right? The history diverged at the moon landing.
Yeah.
So 1969-ish. So that first season, there's not a lot of changes. You know what I'm saying? There's little changes to the space program. And if you're a space program person, you get it. But geopolitically and in the rest of the world, there's not a lot of changes, right? Because it was a very small ripple. But in season two, so each season is a different decade. So you're right now, you're in the 60s, right?
Yeah.
You're about to, in season two, it's going to be the 70s, and it's going to be, establishing a moon base and, getting those things done. And then in season three, it's going to be the 80s, and that's going to be, wait, we need to go to Mars. It's like, we're going to Mars because the Russians are going to beat us there. And then, in season four, it's the 90s, and it's like, so it's like, and there's some characters that carry through, but yes, it diverges further and further from our history. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's more noticeable, the things that happen, and it's more interesting. So I feel like season one is really good, and it introduces you to some of the characters that will be around for all of the seasons, but it also, it's kind of setting the stage. It's like the first season of Battlestar Galactica. And that's probably not a mistake, because Ronald Moore is the guy that did For All Mankind. He also did Battlestar Galactica. So,
okay. Well, anyway, we're enjoying enough. I mean, we were enjoying it enough to continue.
You're enjoying it more than you enjoyed The Expanse.
Oh my gosh. The Expanse, I really... The second time I tried it by myself, because Mark just did not like it.
Yeah.
I watched like three seasons.
Yeah.
But then and maybe I'll go back at some point, but it never became anything more than a slog.
Okay.
Like, I was never like, oh, I got to see the next episode. And so finally I was just like, there are other things. But yeah, I mean.
What do you mean? No, there would be space food sticks and Tang. Yeah, all that, those things just came earlier, because everyone was, the space program became the most important thing. It was, anyway, I love For All Mankind. I've watched it numerous times. By the way, remember that Tom Cruise documentary called From the Earth to the Moon? It was a multi-part series back on HBO. Is that available on Max? Is that something that you can still watch?
I've not seen that.
That was like, that was such a great series.
But I can look. Do you have Max?
No, but that we're picking it up because the new season of Hacks is coming.
I can look right now.
Yeah,
let's
go ahead.
See. I'll say I'm watching.
From the Earth to the Moon. Jesus.
Yep.
Nice. Well, it looks like I can buy it on Amazon.
It is there. It is there.
Okay. Let me get caught up here in the chat room. You need to identify with at least one character or it's not a show for you. Oh, yeah, I would agree with that.
Ozark? Oh, my gosh.
I haven't gotten there
yet.
We got to the end of Ogart. They ate all their yogurt and they were pissed. Not as pissed as the ending of Lost. I knew he was going to do that.
I haven't seen all of Lost. Ozark, I was just unhappy with someone in particular that died. Because I wanted a particular person to make it out of it unscathed and like...
I mean, they've already watched it. They know that Ruthie died.
But I mean, other people might not know.
That is a 5-6-year-old show at this point.
Well, I mean, the last but here's season the real was question. Only a couple of years
here's
ago.
Here's the real question, and it's addressed solely to you, so I am not going to give my 2 cents worth at all. Adam, what is the difference between ChatGPT and Google when you look shit up on your show?
You mean why am I able to do ChatGPT and not Google things because I say I'm not, or do you mean what is the difference technologically speaking between? ChatGPT, although it could be wrong, gives you an answer, whereas Google gives you links to answers and includes snippets from those various websites. Whereas ChatGPT gives you like a coherent, like it writes out like an answer as if you were asking someone a question. And so I like to use it. Plus, it's AI, which I'm really interested in right now. And so I prefer to use it instead of just Googling things. It can, however, be wrong, but it's not wrong very often. It's pretty accurate. And it's using AI. It's been trained. This large language model has been trained on like the entire internet and like loads of other things.
Yes. So, ChatGPT is a website. That's the next question.
It is a website.
It's, what is it? OpenAI.
It is chat.openai.com.
Chat.openai.com. I'm going to copy it and paste it in the chat room. And that's ChatGPT.
I mean, yes, Kathy Marshall, if you ask it very simple things that are pretty fact-based, it's generally right. But yeah, if you get into logic and math and
yeah, but
other
the real
things.
Problem is that the data that that ChatGPT specifically was trained on is several years old. So anything new, it's going to have to try to basically...
I think it's up to like November of 2023 now.
Still, but if you're asking, I mean... And some of the things you're asking about current news items, you're asking questions is like, okay, it's.
Yeah, well, I pay for it. So I also have it has web search built in.
No, I pay for it as well.
So if it doesn't know something, it
the conference that I'm going to this week is the Microsoft Copilot 365 conference.
Yeah, also there are other things other than ChatGPT. I mean, Bing has an AI chat. Meta has an AI chat.
I mean, you have Copilot in Windows. If you have your new update to Windows, it should be in the right-hand side of your taskbar. There'll be a little Copilot icon that you can click on. It's the little rainbow box.
On a Mac, but... Yes.
Well, then you won't have it.
I have it on my Windows. I have a Windows machine as well, but I'm not on that, so...
But yeah,
you can also... I downloaded...
Google has an AI. Facebook has... Llama, which is their AI.
It's
everybody right now is spending just buttloads of money on generative AI stuff right now.
And also it's more than just Auntie Scott, it's more than just answering questions. They can do lots of other things. Like you can say, hey, you know, I want you to, you know, like at work, I'm like, hey, if I'm creating requirements for something, I can type in something and say, hey, rephrase this as an executive summary or whatever. And it will rephrase, you know, or, you know, give me it can summarize things. You can say, hey, I want you to, you know, whatever. There's so many things that it can do. And also I just want to learn more about it because it's going to become more and more prevalent. And I also need to keep up with it for my job because we're doing AI and everything. I downloaded LM Studio, which you can basically download open source large language models and then run them on your computer. So I've been playing around with that. And
do you guys have Copilot?
We are actually, we're doing a POC with a company called Codium.
Okay. All I was going to say was, if you have Microsoft Copilot, there is a studio, it's part of the Power Platform, and it's just the Copilot Studio. Copilot Studio will let you build your own LLMs and let you, you know, do the same things. So
we don't, and I think the reason was we couldn't. The Spitval factory has very strict, like, where we will send our code and all that kind of stuff. And Copilot,
now you're,
there was something about the legal agreements.
All right. I'm talking about Microsoft Copilot. You're talking about not GitHub Copilot.
No,
we don't have both. So,
We don't. We probably will at some point, but again, even when it's not code, they're very strict about what gets sent to external.
Yeah.
And so I don't know when or if they will decide to install that.
It shouldn't be long. I mean, Microsoft has already clarified all that stuff. That's like, yeah, we're not using your data to train anything on. It's just staying in your data system and you have full control over it. You can delete it. It's like, there's no, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a conference. You want to hear my itinerary?
Sure.
This is going to be my week this coming week. Super exciting. My agenda. My agenda. So on Monday I have a workshop because I'm doing a 3-day conference and then 2 workshops. So the workshops are on Monday and Friday and the conference is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Right. So the workshop that I'm doing on Monday is called Grounding AI Using SharePoint Content.
Okay. So is it going to be like, when it says grounding AI, is it going to be like training? They're going to show you how to train using content from your SharePoint?
Prepare your content for Copilot and the implications and perform a security and governance audit before the content is exposed and through new AI. Integrate Copilot into your daily workflow, unlocking the full potential, blah, blah, blah. When they say grounding, usually in AI, they're talking about keeping it from hallucinating as much, like, you know, just being very strict with like, look, this is the data you can use and this is the only data you can use. Blah, blah, blah. All right. So that's my workshop on Monday. On Tuesday, we have the keynote at 8 a.m., the Age of Copilots. Then we have a general session for everyone called Reshaping Productivity with Copilot for Microsoft 365. At 11:30, we split off. So I'm doing a breakout here, Unifying Task Management in Microsoft Teams. And then Microsoft Copilot for Microsoft 365 Extensibility Dev 101. That's my 11:30. And then, I have 2 of them. I have to choose between those 2. Well, I'm definitely going to do the dev thing. All right. And then at 2:00, I have the Ready for Your Next Journey with Microsoft Copilot Studio. Let's build your own Copilot. So this will be using the Copilot Studio to build your own Copilot. And then Battle of the Forums, Microsoft Forms versus Power Apps versus SharePoint Forms, which is one that I just wanted to do anyway. And it supposedly on Tuesday, this is that podcasting group that wants to meet up. So.
Cool.
And then on Wednesday, I'm going to have the Understanding Microsoft 365 Copilot Extensibility via Graph Connectors. After that, the Harnessing Copilot and AI for Teams Meeting Effectiveness. And then after that, Unlocking the Power of Microsoft Graph. And then that's my day. And then on Thursday, Building Collaborative Apps and Teams to Bring People Together. Enhance Microsoft Copilot and Microsoft Graph with Your Own Data. The Future of Windows 365 and AI. And then the closing keynote, Delivering Business Value and User Satisfaction in the Era of AI. And then on Friday, my final workshop is I'm build and extend your own Copilot using Microsoft Copilot Studio. So full day workshop.
Is this an AI conference or is it a Microsoft conference?
I'd say Microsoft 365 conference, and the biggest thing that's happening in Microsoft 365.
They're really doing AI. Most of your sessions are AI. Yeah. Kathy Marshall, you seem nonplussed by AI. Has AI hurt you? Show me where the AI has hurt you, Kathy Marshall.
I'm so sorry. I forgot. I'm sorry. I was not reading the chat room. Let me tell you who was doing the keynote, Kathy Marshall. That's right. Kathy Marshall used to work at Microsoft. The keynote is being given by Jeff Tepper.
Oh, yeah. Good old Jeff.
He is the president of Microsoft Collaborative Apps and Platforms.
Oh, another thing you can do, Auntie Scott, is you could be like, there's so many things you can do. But another thing you do is like, hey, I have these ingredients in my refrigerator. Can you recommend a recipe? And it'll like create recipes.
Oh, yeah. No, I used to be like, yeah, like make me a menu for, you know, 4 keto meals this week and make a shopping list that I would need for those recipes and blah, blah, blah. And it'll go.
I mean, not all of them are going to be good. I mean, it's not like, yeah, but there it's useful.
And yeah, one of the things I feel like in at least in Copilot, and I don't know if this works in ChatGPT or not, but it has to do with the context of it. So what Microsoft is suggesting on these prompts is that you start with a context and then you give it your task, and then you give it the specifics of the format of the output, right? So they would suggest, like, instead of summarize this, you know, this resume and give me, you know, 3 bullet points of their of their strengths and, you know, and weaknesses, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You would start it by going like, I am an HR director and I want you to read this resume and blah, blah. So it's like by putting it in that context, it actually changes the way that it presents the data to you. And then, you know, at the end it's like, I want it in a table format with, you know, this column and that column and that column. And, you know, it handles all that stuff. I don't know that ChatGPT, I mean, the other thing to understand about ChatGPT, Auntie Scott, is that it's a word predictor. It really is. All it is it's really good at writing English sentences, right? So it's not really smart, doesn't know anything, but yet it does really smart things, right?
It doesn't have a soul.
No. What I'm trying to say is it's not doing what we think it's doing. Yeah. It's predicting words and English sentences based off of this huge graph of knowledge that it has, based off of topics and what you're asking and stuff. It's very, but sometimes it'll make things up. Sometimes it, like, if you want a fun one here, maybe you can do this, Adam. Can you ask ChatGPT to write an obituary for famed voice actor and then Auntie Scott's name?
Sure, I can.
And then, you have to read it to us.
Oh.
Does he not know? Doesn't know?
I'm not aware of any recent news about a voice actor named...
Oh, he says you can say his name. Scott Bullock.
Oh, Scott Bullock. If he is a fictional character or if this is a hypothetical scenario, I can help write an obituary based on that information. Could you please clarify or provide more details?
Okay. Well, there we go. So we can do that. let's see. Can you...
But he was in Murder, She Wrote. How does ChatGPT not know?
For S. Scott Bullock, the voice actor.
Oh, you know what? I spelled it wrong.
Actor. Here's an obituary draft for Scott Bullock, the actor. It is with heavy hearts that we announce the passing of Scott Bullock, a cherished voice actor and beloved figure in the entertainment industry, who left us on date of passing at the age of age. Scott passed away peacefully, surrounded by family and friends, after a brief battle with cause of death.
Now, this says, when I spelled it right, and I don't know if this, I don't know how much, it says, it is with deep sorrow that we announce the passing of Stuart Scott Bullock, affectionately known as S. Scott Bullock, who left us peacefully. Scott was born on May 7th, 19, I don't know if he wants me to say that, and I don't know if that's correct, in Santa Monica, California.
Yeah.
And he will be remembered as a brilliant voice actor whose versatile talent brought countless animated characters to life. Scott's career in voice acting spanned over three decades, enriching the animation industry with his distinctive voice and dynamic character portrayals. He lent his voice to a myriad of beloved characters in popular shows such as Danny Phantom, where he voiced Dash Baxter, and The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, in which he brought, I don't know if that's correct, brought the character Flippy to life. His work extended across various media, including video games and animated films, making him a staple in the entertainment world. And it goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, so it went and looked him up. Are you using the GPT-4? Which engine were you using?
I'm using GPT-4, yeah.
Yeah, because I spelled his name correctly and it didn't give me that, so.
I've got the web browser plugin enabled.
Oh, and you had his IMDb page up?
I did not, but. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you could also do that. It's like, hey, here's his IMDb page. and it will go through and things. But yeah, so it's...
Oh, wait a minute. Now, here is, beyond his professional achievements, Scott was known for his exuberant personality and boundless kindness.
He was a mentor.
He was a mentor to many aspiring actors and a friend to all who
knew him.
His ability to make everyone laugh and his unwavering positivity were as impactful as his professional contributions.
Wow. Wow. That's not him at all. That must be a different Scott Bullock altogether.
Oh, here we go. Scott's voice may have fallen silent.
Yes.
But his spirit and the joy he brought to the world will never be forgotten.
It'll never be forgotten. It will never. Yeah. But his ass is still talking. Never be forgotten. When people watch... Now, Auntie Scott, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do...
You shouldn't do what? Oh, so I asked who are the hosts of Dubious Intent podcast. As of my last update, the hosts of the Dubious Intent podcast are Daniel Brewer and Adam Burns. They discuss a variety of topics, often focusing on personal anecdotes, news stories, and listener feedback.
Nice.
If you're looking for the most current information or if there have been recent changes, you might want to check the latest episodes or their official website.
Cool. We watched the video. What was it called? Kids in the Woods. What was the part two just came out this week. I watched it, but part one, what was it called?
Kids in the Woods.
The Ferns in the Woods.
I don't know.
It was the video that was on Auntie Scott's YouTube channel. We watched it together.
I didn't know what it was called.
Now I have to go find it, Auntie's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did watch that together.
It's called Felton. Felton with the Boys. And you know we love you. You know we love you. I mean, we're coming to visit you, even though you won't be there. We both had the same kind of comment when we were watching that video.
Right here on the border.
What the fuck is that?
Sorry, it auto-played. Apologies.
You are a accomplished voice actor. Hell, you're an accomplished actor, period. Why are you making us read paragraphs of text? Why aren't you doing the voiceover? It's like, do you know how much I hate reading text on the screen?
Like the scrolling. It's because like the scrolling Star Wars, you know, beginning of the whatever that thing, the epilogue or whatever, where it's like scrolling.
Oh, it's the notes he doesn't play. It's his jazz. Yeah, no, it's like, I love how part one and part two, like finally at the end of part two, we get to the boys, right? Like part one is completely devoid of the boys.
Yeah, and they're in the credits.
And but episode two, they show up just at the end. They're just like, bloop, bloop. Oh, there's the boys.
I haven't seen part two yet. That must have been uploaded today.
No, it was 2 days ago.
Oh, because I thought I looked earlier and I didn't see part two. I'm almost positive I looked earlier and I didn't see part two.
And you well know that I live to please you, Dan. You know what? You listen to my content and you make comments. And I watch your content and I make comments. It's fine. All that keeps me going is your boundless kindness.
His voice may be silent, but his text will scroll forever. Oh, there is part two. I missed it.
Yeah, there is a part two. I would say play it, but it literally is like another book.
I can read it. I'm sure he would really enjoy that if I, in my voice, non-voice actor voice, if I just read his text.
With a cold. Yeah.
Yeah, with a cold as well.
That's you. That's not me.
It might be me. I don't know.
Someone's sending you a message. What is the, someone's private messaging you?
I don't see a message anywhere.
Because it didn't correspond with the chat.
Nope. I don't know where, it's probably me, but I don't know where it came from. I did not get a message.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. But it could be me. Who knows?
It may be me. I'm going to be at Walt Disney World for a week for this conference. So I'm going to be staying at the Coronado Springs Hotel. That would be did we take you to Coronado?
I don't think so. You pointed to something and said that's where my conference is going to be. Okay. I don't think we went in.
Oh, no, that was Darwin that we took to, we met him over at Coronado. He'd never been there. So I knew there was someone who had never seen Coronado Springs before.
So we have booked our Norway stuff.
Norway.
Except for Belgium.
Our spirit is in our people.
It's mostly like a scenic overlook or, you know, stuff like that, or hiking type stuff, because it's very, but I think it's going to be really pretty, like Iceland. We really enjoyed Iceland, and I feel like Norway is going to be very similar to Iceland in both weather, views, you know, nature, probably food as well. But we booked all that. We haven't booked anything in Belgium yet. And we've got a book. We're going to look for, in London for our anniversary, we're going to look for another Michelin star restaurant. We did a three Michelin star restaurant last time we were in London. But I don't know. We'll do one, two, or three. I don't know. We're still searching. I'm looking on the Michelin website to see. It's Bruges. Be sure to climb the bell tower. Okay. Do we really need to do that? Or is that like a sarcastic, like,
I mean,
here's something that everybody does and you don't need
don't
to do it.
Like, I don't know. I don't think that Lamont Cranston is capable of being sarcastic.
Okay. I'll put that on the list, Lamont. We'll probably finish planning this. We've got to finish planning this one soon because we've got to also plan Greece.
You should always plan Greece because it's hot and it needs time.
So
to cool
Royal
down.
Royal Caribbean is now offering me to bid for a suite.
Yeah, do it.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want, because in order to guarantee myself, like, I have to bid so much and I don't want to pay that much. But I feel like if I bid a small bid, there's no chance I'm going to get it anyway.
But so what? It doesn't cost you anything.
Let's see if they're still asking me to. Yeah, they are. Bid now. Upgrade your stateroom. It's saying,
now remember, it's per person that you're bidding. So, like when I bid for my upbid and I got the suite on our ship, I think I only did like $400 extra a person.
I can bid for an owner's suite.
No.
That's one bedroom.
Yes.
The minimum bid for that is $1,160 per guest.
Yep.
But they say it's really not a strong bid until you get up to $8,920 per guest.
Yep.
I can do a grand suite, two bedroom, minimum bid of $950 per guest, but that's a very weak bid. We're already doing a balcony. We can do a grand suite with a large balcony, minimum bid $790 per guest. A grand suite, one bedroom, which is, I think, what you had possibly.
We had the one bedroom suite.
The minimum is $610 per guest.
Okay.
But that is a weak bid. Was your bid a weak bid, or was it like...
This varies by ship. And it varies by ship and by cruise. So, I mean, we were... When we were bidding on it, we were doing an Alaskan cruise in shoulder season. So it's not going to be.
This is July and this is like Norway. The other thing is if I don't bid, like I could do a junior suite is cheaper to bid for. We could probably get a junior suite for less than $1,000 per person. But
the junior suites are just like a slightly bigger stateroom.
But
you get all the concierge benefits.
Well, you don't. You're C class, and the only thing that you get is you can eat in that special restaurant, but you have to make a reservation, and it's not always guaranteed. And that's the only extra benefit you get, really. Because I was looking at that. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Hold on.
Is that you or me?
That's me. That's me. Hold on. Let me get to the right spot here because you're gonna go to Norway. This is what I know about Norway.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Walt Disney World proudly presents the spirit of Norway.
Spirit.
To know this land's heart and soul, to discover its spirit, Norway.
It's Norway.
To discover its spirit. It was born in challenge. In 1,000 years of challenging the seas.
It's very scary. I love that movie.
I don't know what it is.
It was the movie they used to play at the end of the Maelstrom at Epcot, which was in the Norwegian pavilion. And it was like, Norway, look at our beautiful fjords and look at our beautiful people and look at our beautiful, you know.
So Kathy Marshall is saying I should do a minimum bid, but for like which one? Because like the grand suite, we could do $600 per guest.
Don't do the grand. There's no chance you're going to get the grand.
No, that's the one you and Zach had.
Oh, okay. The one bedroom. So, yeah. So, do a minimum bid on that.
That's $600 per person. Or grand suite with a large balcony. Minimum bid is $790 per guest.
I mean.
Then there's a two-bedroom grand suite. Minimum bid $950.
Yeah. You don't need a two-bedroom suite. There's two of you.
I mean, what if we get mad at each other?
And you saw the grand suite that we were in. We had a king size bed in one room, and we had like a couch in the other room with a pull out, and it's like and it was a comfortable couch.
I don't know. The owner's suite, is only a minimum bid of $1,100 per person.
All right, but that means you will. All right, so if you win that bid, you will immediately have to pay $2,200. So just be prepared. And by the way, is that per day or is that just for the cruise?
No, total for the whole cruise.
Or if you decide to tailor and make friends on Scruff, two bedrooms could be helpful. Oh, that's true. Yeah, if you want to have people come over.
Well, true, but I mean, also those apps don't work on cruise ships.
Well, so. When I was on the cruise ship, it bounced me through like Taipei or something. So I was getting like Asian twinks that were in reality 7,000 miles away from me. But
yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, that's the Adam. Yeah.
So if anyone has any Michelin star restaurant recommendations for London, let me know.
Who's this? All right.
There are a lot.
Let me ask this question to the chat room and to you, Adam. This is an open question for anyone within the sound of my voice. It is my brother-in-law's 70th birthday, and we're going to over to my sister's house for dinner to celebrate that tomorrow. I have no fucking clue what to get somebody for their 70th birthday.
Oh, don't ask me. I'm not good at gifts.
I was like,
Get him a ChatGPT obituary.
Yeah, but that doesn't cost anything.
Auntie Scott says adult diapers.
I mean, he's a doctor. You can probably.
I don't know what to get for any. This is not
single malt scotch. So that's an idea. So is that something that can I find one that was aged 70 years or something? Like I kind of want to work 70 into it. Triple malt. I don't know what the malt is. Is that the balls? Is that the malt balls?
No, that's a...
Does the malt make it taste more like broth? Like beef broth? Does the malt make it taste more like that?
Oh, I've heard Glenfiddich is a good single malt scotch. It's only, you can get it for $699 for a bottle.
Okay. This is my brother-in-law who, you know, I'm friendly with, but he's not my brother or whatever. It's like, I definitely have a budget here, Adam. I don't want to spend more than like $100. A Glyft card guy. Yeah, you know what? I thought about that too. Like going to just like Total Wine and just getting like a Glyft card. I'm going to get a $70 Glyft card from Total Wine. So yeah, I thought about that. Like maybe just get him a gift card from Total Wine, and because he likes wine, but like I don't want to buy him like a bottle of Opus One or something like that because I'm not going to get to drink it.
I will say, I've had scotch and water, and I didn't mind it.
So what is a single malt scotch? Are you asking ChatGPT?
Single malt scotch is a type of scotch whiskey that comes from just one distillery and is made exclusively from malted barley. It is distilled in pot stills and aged in oak barrels for a minimum of 3 years. Although many single malts are aged much longer to develop deeper flavors, the term single malt comes from the use of malted barley as the only grain ingredient, and the product being from a single distillery, which allows it to carry distinct flavors unique to its geographic location and distillation processes. They're celebrated for their wide range of flavors and complexities, which can vary greatly depending on the region of Scotland they come from. A triple malt scotch refers to scotch whiskey that is made by blending malt whiskeys from three different distilleries. Unlike blended scotch, which typically includes both malt and grain whiskeys, triple malt scotch is made exclusively from malt whiskeys. This type of scotch aims to combine the distinct characteristics and flavors of malt whiskeys from different distilleries to create a unique and complex profile.
That sounds exhausting, Adam. I'm trying to find the photo. Did I not download? You know, Adam, when you were here, we took some photos together.
Yep. Scotty said they were photoshopped, but they were not.
They were not.
Why, although look. I didn't like the one at the musical. I looked.
It's a musical. Why, look, it's Darwin and Rodan and Adam and... We made that little, we all lined up in height order.
Look how short I am.
We all lined up in height order, except for Darwin, who, you know, was the other side of the peak, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it should this be one, Rodan, you, Darwin, Zach, and then me.
This one I thought was great. This is on Guardians of the Galaxy. This is our ride photo off there. And you're, why are you holding onto your hat?
Because I was afraid it was going to blow off.
This is us in front of Spaceship Earth.
Wait, that's on Guardians?
Yeah, that's on the Guardians ride.
Well, you weren't doing this.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
On Guardians, Daniel was doing...
Do you have proof of that? Do you have photographic proof of that? So you don't know?
I don't, because I couldn't, but he looked like Superman. I expected here, bum, 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 bum. Bum, ba-da, ba, bum, bum,
bum, ba-da. I think this is
Taylor. You remember
Taylor?
That was the Superman when he would fly or whatever?
This is the when we had dinner with Taylor.
Oh, I look fat in that one. I looked better in the...
I mean, it was right after you ate the bread pudding.
Could be.
This is a picture of Adam driving the boat. This is...
That one's good. I look, you know, I look...
Proof that Adam Thinner. Did ride the boat, did drive the boat.
Man, I am really short. That's
This was that beautiful Lakeview restaurant that Adam sat with his back to the lake. And that's it. I guess I didn't get the Ratatouille. Hold on one moment. Let me find the Ratatouille ride photo. There was a great photo from the Ratatouille ride that required you to act. To green screen act like they're.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And
I had to hold my hand out.
You did. No. That was at Guardians of the Galaxy.
To all those other guys, I am Kathy. I'm 5'7". I'm not tall for sure.
Why is it not showing up? Well, there it is. Wait, there it is. All right. I have found the photo. Let me save the photo. We're sorry, the system is having problems downloading. It's going to steal my photo. We're sorry.
How tall are you, Daniel?
I am 6 foot.
Okay.
I'm shorter than Rodan. Isn't Rodan like 6'4"?
My stepdad is 6'4". How tall is Zach?
Oh, it is. I forget. 5'8"?
Zach must be like 5'8 or 5'9 because he looks taller than me too.
5'8, I think.
Mark and I are the same height, although we're roughly the same height.
Roughly?
Roughly. He thinks he's taller than me, but we're both 5'7".
Let's see, I have more areas. So here's the picture that required acting. Little Remy is running away with that wine cork, and we're like, no! I would say that the only one who's remotely convincing is Zach. Like, you and I really don't seem all that concerned.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think I knew exactly what I was acting about.
Yeah. So, it was a big weekend. It was big fun.
Yeah.
You got to go around and see, and I'm sure when we're there, you'll do your best to,
compete with Disney.
Compete and do some
concerts first of all,
and stuff.
First of all. It's hard to compete, like you said, with Orlando that has everything.
You could stage a 5K.
Second of all, you and Zach are like the biggest Disney heads. So unless I had a Disney here, there's no way that I could compete with any Disneys. So there is no competition.
That's not true.
Although you do like, if we go to the gay resort,
yeah.
You are a fan of like gay campgrounds and stuff. So
And
maybe,
there's a gay campground right there in Eureka Springs. That,
it is. There are. There is.
There are and there is. All right. I think that's it. I think we're done.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, I had to shift my sleep schedule. Like, as soon as you left, I started waking up at... matter of fact, even I think the morning that you were still here when I started waking up at 4 a.m. Because I was up at 4 a.m. the day that you left.
I wasn't.
I know you weren't. Yeah, I was very quiet. But yeah, I shifted my sleep so that I, on race days, I wasn't dead ass tired. And I started to build back this week. Like, I started to, you know, sleep later and stuff. But then I'm thinking, it's like, well, I got this conference next week and everything fucking starts at 8 a.m. And I'd kind of like to, you know, poop before I go, which I can only do if I've like had some coffee and, you know, walked around a bit. So I think I'm going to have to be waking up at like 6 at this 6:30 at this conference.
You and Mark both. Well, I don't know what this is about, like needing to get up early, have coffee, do something before you can poop. First of all, if I don't need to poop, then I don't need to poop. That's fine. I can poop whenever I need to poop. I don't need to prepare to poop. Like, I don't understand, like, what is this? I can poop anywhere. If I need to poop at work, I go into the bathroom and I poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't need to, you know, plan my schedule around pooping. I don't understand planning my schedule around pooping.
I prefer the nice toilet paper I have here in my house as opposed to the sandpaper that they would have at a conference bathroom.
I will poop anywhere.
Okay, great.
I have no problems.
You do you, baby. That's you. Yeah. I didn't say I wouldn't poop. It's not like I'm going to shit my pants or something. I would use the restrooms at the conference room. I would prefer to wake up slowly and,
whatever. Oh, Auntie Scott.
Oh, you know, I just booked that today. I just booked our courtyard.
Are we doing the, I thought it was the Viv.
Oh, no, I'm talking about for Woodland Hills. I booked our Woodland Hills hotel today.
I need to book my flight. So it's the 5th through the 10th, yeah. Correct?
Yes. Yes.
So I need to arrive on the 5th and leave on the 10th.
You do numbers, I do days. You need to arrive on the Thursday. Yes, that is the 5th. Arrive on the Thursday.
Yeah.
And I was either going to fly out late on Tuesday or early on the 11th. So either late on the 10th or early on, you know, because if we do late on the 10th, then that gives us another day to.
I'm going to rent my own car.
Okay.
Because I don't want to have to try to plant like. I don't know when you guys are arriving or like what you're going to be doing. Like you may
so
have to
then
go
we'll
get
just,
your race stuff
no,
or whatever.
So then we'll just use your car then. We just always take an Uber from the airport. We take an Uber or a Lyft from the airport. Like we don't rent a car if we don't need it. But we will need a car to get to Woodland Hills and then to get back. So we'll just use your car.
I see. Okay.
I mean, you just said you were going to rent one.
Yeah, that is the plan. Well, that is so I am mobile. Because you guys may have to go and like pick up race things and all
that
kind of stuff.
You're absolutely right. And we don't need a car for that. We're good.
Yeah. So
we don't need a car. The only thing we need a car for is driving to Woodland Hills.
Also, I've got to try my Avis President's Club.
I know.
And when I came to Orlando, I had to wait in line because I had never done it before.
Now you've done it. So now you got to go do it where you don't wait in line.
Yeah. 5th through the 10th or the 11th. Okay.
Okay.
I can.
And yes, we're gonna stay at the Viv. I just have to put down the down payments on those. And
I think I can get the flight for between 26,000 and 30,000 miles, which is pretty good round trip.
Okay.
So that's gonna be free, air quotes.
Free as in beer. All right. Good night, chat room. Thank you for being here. I'm going to...